In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A young monk once asked his elder for a word. And the wise man replied to the young monk, "Begin every day with an hour of prayer." And the young man protested and said, "Father, I have so much to do. I'm the one who cooks the food and tends the sheep. I'm the one who cleans the church and sings the services. I can't possibly start the day with an hour of prayer." And the old man smiled and with love in his eyes said, "My son, you are right. You are so busy, busier than all the others. Do not begin your day with 1 hour of prayer. Begin instead with 2. The old man smiled and said, "Begin with 2. It's not what he expected. The young monk, surprised by this word from the elder, is you, and the young monk is me. And I would say especially in the Christmas season. It seems we feel stress more acutely now. This is such a stressful time of the year. That's something that we hear over and over again. And this may be. But really, the rest of the year is not much better. In December, our stress will come with candy canes and silver bells, but the stress never really goes away. Our plates are always full. Our schedule's always super busy. We are like the friends of the master in the Lord's parable. There's so much to do. I have to make dinner. I have to walk the dog. I have to do my homework. I have to return phone calls and email and texts, business, family, school, church. And often to survive, to strike a balance, we delay or ignore the most important things. I can't please all the people all the time, so I'll figure out how to please some of the people some of the time. And so in our mind, we create a list. And on that list is the name of everyone we know, and next to the name is a score. I call it the disappointment score. The disappointment score tells me how disappointed that person will be if I don't perfectly keep my commitment to them. Some names have big scores. These are the names at the top of the disappointment list. Your boss is at the top. If you don't show up to work, if you don't do what is expected of you, your boss will be really disappointed, and this will be a bad thing. Next to your boss's name is a big score, the number 100. On the list are the names of your teachers, your parents, your credit card companies. They have big scores too. We're talking high scores, high 90s. If I let them down, it will be a big deal. I need to keep them happy. Some names are lower on the list. It's not quite so bad if I have to cancel my dentist's appointment or skip my neighbor's holiday party. It's not so bad if I send out only 30 Christmas cards instead of 50. People might be disappointed, but not too disappointed. Their scores are lower, maybe in the 30s and the 40s. And the disappointment list is helpful. It helps us handle the stress, and it helps us to make decisions. It helps us to strike a balance in life, to know how best to use our time and our limited energy. The guests who were invited to the master's banquet this morning, they also keep a disappointment list. And the score by the master's name isn't very high. The master will be disappointed, they say to themselves, but he'll get over it. He's a good and generous man. He knows that I am super busy and super stressed. And like the invited guests, we too put some names near the bottom of our list. Someone has to get the low disappointment score. There has to be someone whose disappointment doesn't really matter all that much compared to the others. And we too, like them, and often for the same reason, often take the Master's name and we place it near the end. On the disappointment list, God's score is low, most likely single digits. And we give God a low score not because we don't love him, but because we trust that God is everything that he says, that God is patient. God will always be there. God will always forgive. So in our minds, we say that God will understand, but my boss, no way. My in-laws and big clients, will they understand? Not a chance. They will judge me. They will think that I'm lazy or uncaring. And so for us, in this way, God becomes a luxury. God becomes someone I want to spend more time with, but I can't. And so God has to wait. God, we think, requires so much. The church asks for so much. All the prayers and the services, all the commandments to love my neighbor and to hunger and to thirst for righteousness and reading the Bible every day. I'm really rather busy. God is a luxury I cannot afford. Christ ceases to be a blessing and suddenly becomes a burden. No longer a comforter, the Holy Spirit becomes a complication. And then we get to this time of the year, the late days of December, when it's time to celebrate Christmas, when it's time to dive deeply into the joy of the gospel, to receive a Savior, and to sing with the angels. This is the time of the year to stand with the shepherds and to behold the mystery. It is now time to travel with the wise men and behold the King of all. But because God is low on the disappointment list, because God is a luxury we think we can't afford, because we have postponed God, we realize that we are not ready for Christmas. We are not ready for Christmas, and worse than this, for so many of us, we are not even ready to be ready for Christmas. We don't really want to make the changes needed to give God a greater share of love and attention. We don't really want to upset that delicate balance of old habits and worn-out routines that help us get through the day without making others too upset or too disappointed. I'm not ready for Christmas. I'm not ready to give up my disappointment list. I'm not ready to change all the scores and move God's name to the top. I'm not ready to give up all the compromises and all the distractions that help me muddle along and survive. If being ready for Christmas means giving more to God, if being ready for Christmas means somehow finding the time and the energy asked for by the church, then I'm just not ready to be ready. Brothers and sisters, to those of us who are not ready for Christmas, to those of us who are not even ready to be ready, Christ speaks a wonderful and surprising word this morning. Jesus reminds us this morning of the gospel. Jesus reminds us that God is not one more responsibility. God, rather, is the true benefactor. God this morning does not invite us to another meeting. God does not add another errand to the list. God does not call us to the town hall or to the shopping mall. It is a banquet to which the Lord calls us. Jesus chooses that word very specifically. At a banquet, when you are the guest, it is not your time to be in charge. It is time for you to rest. It is not time to stand in line. It is time to take a seat. At the banquet of Christmas, it is not time for us to take care of God. It is time for God to take care of us. God invites us to a feast, and he doesn't require a single blessed thing from us. In the parable this morning, the master fills his mansion with the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. He invites those who have nothing to give. And he invites them so that he might take care of them, whether they feel ready or not, even if they don't feel ready to be ready. Christmas and every feast, this liturgy and every liturgy, these are feasts for people who have nothing to give. These are feasts for the poor and the maimed, for the blind and for the sick. Christ promises rest. He promises to take away the burdens of the tired. Time with Christ is not just one more thing. Time with Christ is the thing. It's the thing. You may not feel ready for Christmas, but Christmas is ready for you. The table is set and the chairs are waiting. You may not feel ready to pray, or rather, not ready for the liturgy each Sunday. But the liturgy is always, always ready for you. The chalice is filled and the angels have gathered. You may not feel the need to pray each morning. You're not ready to do so. Prayer is always ready for you. The Lord is waiting to greet you and to listen. You may not feel ready to read your Bible, but Scripture is also ready and waiting for you. Christ is waiting to speak words of comfort and hope. The Bible is a pillow for your soul, always there to give you rest. So take your disappointment list and scratch God off. God is not waiting for a delivery. He is not waiting for an easy, rather, he's not waiting for an essay. He's not waiting for a problem set. God is not waiting for an ugly sweater or a minimum payment. You can't disappoint God even if you try. In these late days of December, the nights are now so long and so cold, but the feast this day is full of fire and light. Christmas, too, brings warmth and radiance. And it is this gift of fire and light that our Master offers at his banquet. Christ's love warms a cold heart. So draw near to the fire of divine love that first warms a cold manger and then warms the whole world. Christ's word shatters the darkness like 10,000 candles bound together. Receive the light that first dawns in Bethlehem. Christ's cross scatters demons and rattles hell. Into a cave he is born, into a cave he is buried. An unstoppable fire and light now flood the caves where all the dead are buried, bestowing life on those in the tombs. Brothers and sisters, the Master's banquet brings joy and strength. Don't ignore the invitation. You need it, especially if you too are busier than all the others. Whether you are ready or even ready to be ready, enter and be received by Christ. All he wants this day is a full table in the kingdom. And all he wants for Christmas is you. Amen.